book of Ruth this morning. The book of Ruth, I want to start reading in chapter number 1. It's just a joy to be saved today. And I pray that you'd pray for me extra this morning. I'd be grateful. I appreciate the good meeting the Lord gave us this week. And the Lord really helped me in the preaching, and I'm grateful for that. I sure do need Him to help me this morning. Well, the book of Ruth, the Bible said, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion. Ye Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orph. The name of the another was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, and the women was left of her two sons and her husband. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, Surely we'll return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that you may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having a husband? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much of your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. She said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave you, nor return from following after you. For whether thou goest, I'll go. And where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And wherefore thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, more also if all but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. When then call ye me Naomi, saying, The Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Thank you for standing this morning. I want to preach on this thought today in the book of Ruth on leaving home full, but coming back empty. Leaving home full, but coming back empty. You know, I've seen a lot of people leave out full, but I've never seen many come back that way. And here in the teaching of the Word of God, this is a familiar story, I guess, one of the highlights of the Old Testament, the book of Ruth. We have so many illustrations within the reading of those simply 22 verses this morning. But I want to share just simply five little seed thoughts today. And then I want to try to encourage you on some things that God has showed me. First of all, I want you to know there was a famine mentioned.
a famine mentioned. Brother Mike, if you'd turn me up just a little bit. The famine mentioned. I want to say there was a place of famine. He said it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn. Now that lets me know that everything all the way isn't going to be shouting in glory where we live. Now Bethlehem is certainly means the house of bread. And here in this little town of Jerusalem, here where Christ was born, we find a man, Elimelech, is raising his family. I want to tell you, you'll never find a better place to raise your family than the house of bread. Oh, we sure do need to spend some time at God's house. Matter of fact, he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but the more as you see the day approaching. We are in the last days. We're days of dark times. We're in days when there's been devils been unleashed in our country upon our children in ways that we'd never seen. We have several police folk in our church, and we thank God for that. You can talk with them. Down where Brother Joe patrols, you'll notice the other day at Bremen Walmart where the man came in and tried to snatch that little girl away. Well, see, that never happened years and years ago. But it is happening in our country. You know what? That's Bremen's not New York City. That's Bremen, Georgia, just across the pine thicket. And see, in Bowdoin, Georgia, it is no different. You can leave here and you can look at, my goodness, the famine that's going on across our country, our county. A lot of times we think of famine of rain and things of food, nutrition. But let me tell you, God said that in the book of Amos that He would send a day, it would be a time when there would be a famine of hearing the Word of God. Boy, we are in a dry place in spiritual things today. But this lets me know and encourages me as a pastor. The church, every time we meet, may not be shouting out the rooftop, and every pew may not be filled, and thank God it is that way here. But it may come a time when it's not. But it won't be time to leave. It'll be time to get closer. And so Bethlehem is a great place to raise a family, the house of bread. You know, this morning when I came here, I didn't feel real good, but as the service began to progress and God began to move, the Word of God was open, challenged my heart, my spirit began to get lifted. And you know, it's nothing like the house of God. I thank God for that. Our sister on the front, when Brother David and Brother Tim, Miss LaFonda, was singing this morning, I'm just waiting for the call, she said, I wish I could bottle some of this up and send it to other places. Let me tell you something, Liberty Baptist, we got a lot to be thankful for this morning. I sure am glad that we're at a good place where bread comes and feeds His children. I'm glad that I'm in on partaking something for my life and for my family. But certainly you'll see here there was a famine mentioned. It was a place of famine, and it was at the house of bread at Bethlehem. Then number two, you'll notice the people of famine. They were a family that was together. There's nothing like a family unit. There was a man, woman, and their two sons. He was raising them up in an atmosphere of the house of bread. I'm glad that I can raise my children, my grandchildren up in an atmosphere of the house of bread. You listen to me. You can play ball through the week. Amen. You can socialize through the week. You can do the things of the world through the week, but Sunday is designated for the house of bread to encourage and challenge the hearts of God's people. We ought to keep this absolutely preaching in the forefront. I love singing good as anybody that hears singing, I guess. But let me tell you, honey, only the Word of God is going to stand. When the storm's blowing, you might not have a song, but you can always have this blessed book. Thank God it is the right book. Let me tell you, it tells the old, old story. I'm glad Jesus saves. I'm glad there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I'm glad He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'll go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I'm glad He's the doorway to glory. I'm glad He's the key to knowledge. I'm glad He's the great shepherd. I'm glad He's everything that we need in our life. I'm glad we got this blessed old book this morning. Maybe a time when the devil stole your song, but you'll always have a scripture. And boy, He said we ought to hide them in our heart. Amen. If somebody steals a copy, you still got it in your heart, where nobody can break through and steal it this morning. But oh, we see, no doubt in our Bible, there was a famine to mention. The place of famine, the people of famine. And then the pain of famine. You know, when famine comes, it affects everybody. I remember a few years ago when it had not rained in our country. I remember Brother Cantrell and several others of our church, their wells became dry. They were bringing water in just to do the things at home that needed to be done. You remember, we gathered up at the tabernacle in a time of famine. We prayed and asked God to send us rain. Isn't it amazing, when we was up there in that tabernacle, not many came, but you know what? God came by. It started raining. You remember that, Miss Peggy? I know you was there. I mean, isn't that a blessing? We up there and get to pray, and it ain't rained for days. All of a sudden, a little cloud boiled. Can I tell you, honey, God's still meeting what people want to be met with. Amen. Let me tell you, it's still all right to have church on a Sunday morning down in Bowden, Georgia. It's still all right to come and magnify the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's still all right to love one another. It's still right to get saved. It's still right to be dedicated down at the house of God. I'm glad I got a place. I can raise my family this morning at the house of bread. You'll see there was a mention of famine. Number two, you'll notice not only this mention of family or this famine mentioned, but you'll notice there was a fatal move. A fatal move. Why in the world would a man take his family away from the house of bread? I want you to notice this. The Bible said, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Why in the world would a man do such a fatal move? You know, I want to say something. First of all, there was distrust in this move. There was an evidence that he lacked faith in God. He looked at the famine through the eyes, Brother Lee, of flesh instead of the eyes of faith. And so many times we find a distrust in our move and in our decision. Can I tell you, you can still trust Him? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know where He is. Well, let me tell you, honey, He knows where you are. And God is all-knowing, and He knows everything, and He knows where we are and who we are. And so we see the distrust in this move. It was an evidence of the lack of faith in God. And then you'll notice there was a disobedience in the move. The Israelites were to live in the land that God had made for them. Moab was a bad place. You want to know how bad it was? I'll tell you how wicked it was. Look in Genesis chapter number 19, and you'll find a Bible character named Lot. And boy, how embarrassing that it was for Lot that some things had happened to him. In Genesis 19 and verse number 30, the Bible said, and Lot went up out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. The firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old. There's not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that night. The firstborn went in and lay with her father. He perceived not when she lay down or when she got up. Came to pass on the morrow, the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. Go thou in, lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that night also. The younger rose and lay with him. He perceived not when she lay down or when she got up. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. This whole tribe came by incest. And let me tell you, the wrath of God was upon them people. And God said, you don't go over into their borders. You don't go in them boundaries. You stay put in the people that I fixed you with. You stay where I've told you to stay. Let me tell you, God's youngins ought to not be a wandering around in this world. God's youngins ought to be staying down at the house of God this morning. And certainly, isn't that amazing, this fatal move, the disobedience, God had told him to stay there. And then not only the distrust and the disobedience, but Brother Adam, there was disturbance in the move. You see, when he moved, his family went with him. Can I tell you, you don't backslide alone, neighbor. You say, leave me alone, preacher. I'm only bothering myself. No, you're not. You're affecting a lot of people. And I'm affecting a lot of people. It does matter where I go and what I do, because I'm taking people with me. And certainly when he decided to move on toward Moab, there was a problem. There was two little old young'uns following him where he was going. There was a wife following him where he was going. And the thing about it, there was stuff waiting on him that he wasn't really wanting to see about. Oh, there was disobedience. There was disturbance. He took his family. We never backslide alone. You know, I've got to be careful, daddies, where we take our children. I want to be guilty, Brother Adam, of bringing them to the house of bread, the house of God. You say, is this church perfect? No, it's not perfect in this world. It's perfect in His world. We've got people. People here have failures, opportunities, make mistakes. Amen. And long as we have people, we're going to have those kind of opportunities. But I want to go and tell you something. You write this down in your Bible. As long as I'm pastor at this church, we'll sing out of the redback hymnals. We'll preach out of a King James Bible. We'll keep our altar open. And we're going to love sinners by the good grace of God. Can I tell you, I'm glad you're here today. Hey, I don't care what you've done. Don't care how long you've been doing it. The blood of Jesus will forgive you of all your sins this morning. I'm not going to throw rocks at somebody being stupid. I've been stupid myself. But honey, there's a payday someday, and there was a payday waiting on him. But I'm telling you what, he didn't have the money in his pocket to pay for it. Now, there was a disturbance in the move. He took his family with him. And then there was a distance in the move. Now, I read about this in far as the historical content of this text. You could see Moab from Bethlehem across the Jordan. It was some 20 to 30 miles. You know, isn't it amazing on a good clear day, they say you can see some 20 miles? Well, let me tell you something. It's not that far away to go to Moab. Can I tell you? It's one look at a time. It's one step at a time. The devil will say, boy, look what you got out, China. But he don't show me what I got in here. Amen. He'll say, hey, hey, look out over that fence. But he never shows me that good grass I'm standing on. I seen no cow this week. She had her neck run through barbed wire eating grass on the other side of the fence. And she just standing all in green grass. That's the way we are. You say, well, look at all that green grass over there. Most of the time it's growing on a septic tank. My yard goes dormant, Bermuda grass. But where our septic lines run, that green grass springs and shows its head up. And let me tell you, that green grass looks good, but we better be sure where it's growing at. If I just wait on that Bermuda green up after a while. You see, there was distance. He only went out one step at a time. Can I tell you, you better be careful. The old song we used to sing, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little feet, where you go. These will carry you a lot further, a lot quicker than you thought. Matter of fact, it didn't take him long to get out there, but it took them 10 years to get back to where they went. Boy, the devil, he'll always let you look out there across the fence. I want to tell some of you men something right quick while I'm the pastor here. Well, my wife don't look like the day I married her. Well, you don't look the same neither. And the devil will say, man, you know, you done owned up about 40-year-old. Now go on out there and get you a 25-year-old. That little pocketbook. Let me tell you, it's a short way over there, but it's a long way back. You hear me this morning? Hey, you look up here, boys. I'm preaching to you today. It's a short way over there, but it's a long way back. Oh, Lord, I won't change the title of this message. It's a short way there, but it's a long way back. Be sure you put that on the internet. A lot of times we say, well, you know, I'm tired of raising my family. And you say, well, this is something else, too, that I want to really key on this morning. You say, well, preacher, I can't. Why can't you? He did. He was at the house of bread. His wagon was loaded. And he got to looking out over toward Moab, and he took his young'uns over there. He went out full, but he come back. She did empty. Some of you young ladies, some little old punk at work have come by. Still got a head full of hair, jailed down, look like the mafia. Come by and tell you them sweet nothings. Say, well, you know, if you was my wife, I'd be listening to you. Now, if he'll run around with you, hon, he'll run around with anybody else in this world. Hello. Hello, young girls. If he'll cheat on you in your marriage, he'll cheat on you after he gets you down the road. Boy, he was at the house of bread, but he found himself at Moab, and it's easy to get over there. And I can tell you this, no airplane picked him up and rode him over there. He walked over there. And we better quit blaming stuff on the devil. We've all got decisions. We ain't no jack in the box and no puppet on the string, honey. These feet take us where this mind tells us to. It ain't nobody's fault but your fault and my fault when we wind up out yonder in a bad place. You say, well, I was abused when I was a young'un. Well, so was I. But I ain't all the way crazy. Well, my mom and daddy whooped me too hard. They whooped me too hard too. But I needed it. You quit blaming your time right now on what something happened back over yonder. Stuff happens to everybody. We're not immune to trouble. You got a purpose. You're going to keep your heart at the house of God. Quit hunting excuses to leave. Look for excuses to get here. They said it wasn't enough people here Wednesday night to have a fight. Well, sound like to me you're going somewhere behind the house of God. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till I get point three. We do what we want to do. And I done been at this thing long enough, I can give you more excuses than you can give me. But we do what we want to do. You better wake up, honey. One footstep over that way for long, your whole family's going to be over there. And you better listen to what the Holy Ghost gave me yesterday. You better watch going toward Moab. You're going to lose everything you got. And it don't take long. We see a famine mentioned. We see a fatal move. We see distrust. Things got a little rocky. Well, let me tell you something. If God done it once, God can do it again. The same God that paid your bill here, He'll pay it here next year. The same God that saved Brother Larry's grandbaby will save your grandbaby. But you got to keep them around the house of God. Distrust in the move, disobedience in the move, disturbance in the move, the distance in the move. Didn't take them long, but the dangers of the move. They went to a hostile place. Ruth chapter 2 verse 1. Look at the deterrent of the move. I don't know why in the world he'd want to move. Look what he had. Ruth 2 verse number 1. Boy, this right here is going to get better. I'm feeling better. Watch. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You know where he was? He is at home at Bethlehem. Why in the world would anybody want to lose with that kind of man on their side? He said, I don't know why you're leaving, man. There's a deterrent in you leaving. He said, at the house of bread in Bethlehem, there's a man over there. And let me tell you what, he's a mighty man and his name is Boaz. Can I tell you who that is? That's the Lord Jesus this morning. Why would you want to leave the best thing you've ever had? You think about it. He was a mighty man of wealth. Why? And you know something? He was kin to him. Brother Lee, if I get down on hard times, why would I want to go to the world when I've got all of these assets? I know we ain't got a lot of money. I can look at all our vehicles and tell that. Amen. And them folks out there blabbering about, you got to show your W-2s before you join here. It's out of hell this morning. And you be sure to walk over there and tell her that the preacher said she's full of the devil. Y'all didn't like that on this side. I see how you like it. You be sure to tell her the man of God said she's a liar. You can look at this crowd and tell it ain't a lot of money around here. Show your W-2s before you join a church. How stupid. People's crazy. But the more they talk, the more it grows. That's the way they done in Egypt. The more that they was served in hard bondage and mortar, Pharaoh said, Lord, they just are multiplying. We don't know what in the world's going on down there, but something's going on down there. Oh, don't you get quiet. I'll preach on the hood of the truck this morning. I done eat me some gunpowder this morning. Samson lost his strength because he run his mouth. If you're a blabbermouth Christian, you ain't going to have no power with God running your mouth. Hummingbird brain and an alligator mouth. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the dangers in the move, the deterrence. Why in the world would you want to move out of a place at the house of God when there was somebody there that could get you everything you needed? I got sidetracked with that rabbit. I shot and killed him. Oh, it sure is tasting good. I'm going to get back to where I was. I know this crowd ain't got a lot of money, but I guarantee you, they and a family here this morning probably wouldn't give me $5 or $10 if I needed to feed my family. But I guarantee them folks out there don't know me from a rank stranger. Why would I want to leave the deterrence that God's put in my life, people that love me? Turn around and tell people beside me, say, turn around and tell them, say, I love you. Turn around and tell them this. Folks need to know they love. Turn around and tell them. You ought to be glad to hear this morning. Sisters can make a banana pudding. They don't do that out yonder. Men that make real deer beef jerky, give to their priest. They don't do that out yonder. They steal your beef jerky. When you think about it, he had everything he needed at the house of God. No doubt when he was packing, no doubt probably. Maybe Naomi said, hon, why are we leaving? He said, we got everything here we need. Elimelech, when you just trust him another week, you know what he said? He said, no, I'm going before I lose everything I got. But what he didn't know, there was a hedge about him and his family in that church. But when he walked out of that hedge, he said, okay, devil, come on. And he found out he wasn't no match for the devil. We've got a hedge about us, Job chapter 1. But honey, let me tell you something. You can take a pair of hedge clippers and you can cut you a hole in that hedge and walk out and say, here I am, and you're no match for the devil. I'm glad I'm in protective custody today. And listen to me, life's hard enough doing right. Deterrence and moving. I wonder, has God put any deterrence in your life from going to the world? You know what means a lot to me when somebody get me and say, "Preacher, let's go to the altar and pray. Let's get some help." Or somebody text me or call me or email and say, "Pastor, won't you know I've been praying for you today?" I look at these little old babies around this altar coming, giving to this bug. All those are deterrents. God help us from going to Moab. The duration, verse number 4. Didn't take him but one day to get there, but as I said, it took 10 years for her to get back. She come back without him, verse number 4. Verse 3, Elimelech, Naamah's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab, the name of one of Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Then there's the death of the move. Verse 3, I guarantee you, he never thought it'd cost him everything he had. When I was a young man, I'd done a lot of crazy moves. I sure am glad the grace of God helped me through it. So many times I was out there on danger ground with my wife and two young'uns that I knew nothing about. The mercies and the grace of God, Brother Gerald, brought us home. Why would I want to leave somebody like my heavenly Boaz? You see, there was a famine mentioned. There was a fatal move. But then you'll notice, verse 3 and 4, there were forbidden marriages. They took them wives, the women of Moab. Time out. That's an issue. This intermarriage, God had boundaries and borders for a reason. You know why? Because of idols. You know why we ought to protect our borders? You know why our country's in the mess it's in today? Because somebody took the sign down. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. It does matter who you marry. Let me tell you this, young girls, young boys, you ought to marry in your culture. If you don't marry within your culture and your kind, you're going to bring confusion to your house. And you're going to open up a can of worms that you're not going to be willing to pay for down the road. Now you listen to me. I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. There are children brought in these marriages that need the love of God. There are couples caught up in these marriages that need the love of God. But God put up boundaries and borders to protect you. He said, come out from among them. Don't you be unequally yoked up. Young girls, if he's not saved, you ought to not date him. You probably don't like that, but it don't matter. I didn't come down here for you to like me. I'm a preacher. You go marry you an idol worshiper. You know what your young'uns is going to do? Probably going to worship idols. Somebody said, is it a sin for intermarriage? No, I don't think it's a sin. I think it brings trouble. And I want to say that it is my direction to this church and these young people. And it is my stance. You better be careful who you run with. You run with the wrong crowds, you're going to be doing what they're doing. Young girls, let me tell you, while I'm there, some of you are not going to come back no way, so I'm going to load your wagon real good. If that little boy won't wait on you, drop him. I'd rather keep myself pure and holy before God than to be out yonder in a hospital with needles running my arm, fixing to die and leave my mom and daddy. Some of y'all don't like that kind of preaching, but let me tell you something. This church is founded on preaching, and I ain't backing up on preaching. You listen to me. You listen real good. Nobody takes this home wrong and has a preacher this morning. I'm not bashing nobody. I'm not being unkind to nobody. I'm telling you, God set up boundaries and borders for a reason. Now you cross them and you're going to pay for it. And I ain't got to apologize about what Jesus said. It is my counsel. Marry your kind. Some of you looking at me like, I wish you'd just say something to me this morning. Why would you say that? Because I may be more concerned about your kids than you are. I'm not talking about mistreating nobody. You hear me? People that's overstepped them boundaries need to be saved. They need to be loved. But I don't sanction it. Goes this way. You say, well, let me ask you something. How did you get your young'uns to do that? I'm the boss. They 16, they start, some boy pull up and the music's saying a ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-ba-boom, and he can't even hear and he blows the horn in the driveway. Little thug ain't taking my young'uns out. You hear me this morning? My girls ain't leaving with a thug. Some of you boys need to put a man card in your pocket and be a man. Need to get you the right kind of haircut and stay out of these tattoo parlors. You got Laura tattooed across your head and Laura's going to dump you, and what's Michelle going to say? Give me five right there, postman. Let's just give the Lord a good hand clap of praise this morning. Praise Him and bless Him in this place. Forbidden marriages. I know God can save anybody. But when you overstep the bounds of this book, you're asking for trouble. And life's going to deal you enough trouble with doing what this book says. Well, preacher, what's this book say? This book says for saved folk to marry saved folk. If you men want to have a big issue, a big problem, You save men, go in business with a lost man. You're going to have more headaches than goody powders can fix, neighbor. They don't think like you. They don't react like you. They don't do like you. They can lie, it don't bother them. If you got God in you, you can't lie to bother you. Amen. Some of you sitting there like, my God. What happened to old time preaching, Brother Shelton? I'm not talking about hating nobody. I'm not preaching a hate gospel. I'm talking about doing right. We walk in these restaurants. There's Buddha. They're burning incense. Amen. That ain't the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We become a socialist country. Now we got hate crimes. If you say anything goes against this book, then you're preaching a hate. I'm not preaching hate crime. I'm telling you what thus saith the Word of God. He said, don't go to Moab. There's more issues in Moab, young ladies, than you'll ever get out of. Young men, there's more problems out yonder in Moab your mom and daddy ever fix. Thank God for a youth group. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God for a good young man and young lady to lead our youth right. A young man with morals and fundamentals of the faith. Thank God for it. I mean, I preached at places, the back church pew looked like a drive-in movie. God's house ought to be holy. Special. You young'uns dating out there, you ought to have a Bible between you. You say, oh, you're so old-fashioned. Thank you. Thank you. It's hard enough for, listen to me, mom and daddies, it's hard enough for your young'uns to do right when you raise them right, much less you just turn them to the world. I leave here at late, Piggly Wiggly parking lot. There'll be 20 kids out there, young girls sitting out there on tailgates of the truck. Where's their mama? Y'all ought to cut you a good switch for the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
And tear them up. Some of you boys need a little more influence, a little something in you. Come over here and go to drinking out of the well I'm drinking of.
Amen.
It may help you a little bit, get you some guts in you.
Amen. That's right.
Turning your young'uns to Moab. You know why? Because he led them over there. They didn't go there by themselves. Now you can't make me think a family that raises their babies on a church pew, that don't affect them more than turning them to the world. I don't care what anybody says. At least you're raising them up to know right or wrong. And over yonder down the road, when they up them railroad tracks, Brother Mike, it's going to catch up to them.
Amen.
Young people, thank God for you doing right.
Amen.
I want to just take time out and brag on our young people. I thank God for our young people around this church. Everybody said, well, our young people, they've all gone to the dogs. No, they all ain't went to the dogs. They still, some young'uns, love Jesus and respect mom and daddy. Hey, look up here, young'uns. You ought to say yes, sir, to daddy and no, ma'am, to daddy. You ought not even answer them. When you say, hey, Susie, she say, yeah. Little 3-year-old grandbaby. Now, her daddy needs a little anger management. But I can tell you one thing he's got that grandbaby doing. Yes, sir. Miss Renee called the other day. You know what she said, Brother Larry? Ma'am. Lord God, that helped me now. Y'all help me preach a while. I said, that helps me. I'm not going to be some little old spindly, spineless preacher running around saying, you just go on out there, there ain't no repercussion. Because there is repercussion. Brother Mike, I might ought to let you preach this morning. I like what them rednecks told me out yonder Wednesday night. Brother Felton knows him, big boy named Doc. He's a rock layer. I mean, you shake his hand, it's just like, please don't hurt me no more. I said, you know what? After I'm preaching here, I may have to go out the back door. He said, preacher, you won't go out the back door as long as I'm here. You'll go out the front door. I ain't got no robe on this morning. I ain't got no dress on.
Amen.
But I tell you what I do got. I got a heart for my people and their young'uns.
Amen.
And you better listen to your old-fashioned preacher this morning. There was a famine mentioned. It was a fatal move. It was forbidden marriages. You know what? It killed them too. Look what verse number 5, Malan and Chilion died, both of them. Verse 6, a faithful messenger. Boy, when everything gets so bad, ain't you glad there's some good news? Then she, the Bible says this, she arose with her daughters-in-law, she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited His people and given them bread. Ain't you glad when you was at your bottom, good news of the Lord Jesus come by your way and said, hey, there's help at the house of bread. You done seen what you can do to your family. Won't you see what God can do for your family? Faithful messenger. I won't say it was a timely message. Ain't that just like our good God? Send us a word right in time. Timely message. It was a truthful message. It was about grace. The Lord is about giving. He said He's given. And it was a trusting message. You know what she done? What some of you need to do? You need to trust it because she arose and left out from where she was. You're never going to go nowhere with Christ till you trust Him. She trusted Him. How you know that you trusted Him, preacher? Because I left Moab. A lot of y'all straddling the fence. You need to decide what side of the fence you on. Amen? I close. I wish y'all would come, Brother David, Brother Tim, Sister LaFon. I wish y'all would come back and sing me that song again this morning for our invitation. There's a faithful messenger. Didn't Jesus say, go around the world sharing the gospel? Can you imagine? There was Naomi. She had lost her husband, them two boys, everything she had. And all of a sudden, somebody said, good news. Good news. You know why this ain't good news to a lot of people? Because they're not empty. They're not broken. But honey, when you get down on the bottom and God gets your attention, He'll say, hey, I got some good news for you. But I'm going to tell you where you're going to get your help. It's back over yonder at Bethlehem. Look what Moab's done to you. Look what he's done to you. There's help at Moab. Faithful message, but messenger. But lastly, the final message. Look what they done. Did y'all notice what happened? Verse 19, so they too went till they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? She'd been gone 10 years, Brother Troy. You know the last time they seen her? She had her husband and two boys and the wagons was loaded and they walked out of town in a caravan. Had more than he could hold. He went out full. But he come back empty. Look what it says. She said to them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. The Lord didn't do it to me. I did it to myself. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Well, if it takes you getting empty to be back home again, I say, dear God, empty us. I won't say this now, and I'll be done. There's room. Even though when she come back and everybody was saying, is this Naomi? Can you believe how she looked? Boy, sin a wear on you, won't it? Sin will make you pay. You young ladies, you're so pure. So sweet. You stay out yonder in that wrong place in 10 years and they won't recognize you when you come home. I want to ask y'all something. Elimelech's died. Millie and Chilion, they've both died. She's coming back with one daughter-in-law. Can you imagine when she walked back up that street? No doubt she thought about how she left. I wonder if we'd think about what we got before we'd leave, would it detour us from going? Can you imagine, Brother Matthew, how she felt? She come back in that place and they said, is that Naomi? She had jewels every place. She had flowing garments. She had a family. Everything was great. What happened? I'll tell you what she said. Maybe she said, I told him, please don't go. Preacher, I knowed we shouldn't have went, but we did. And yes, ma'am, Naomi, you know what the good news is, Brother Jake Honey? There's room back at Bethlehem. And Boaz is there. There's resources. This morning they're going to sing. We open this altar. I don't know what you need, but I can tell you one thing. The Lord gave me this yesterday, all day and through the night. And I just ask, would you take a hold of it and do something with it? Maybe you want to come this morning and gather around this altar and just thank God. Maybe you want to say, dear God, I'm a coming and I need some help. Let me tell you something. She got things fixed. We'll probably see that next week. But you got to start back to get back. Whatever you need this morning, you come. There's room for you. There's resources for you. But you're going to have to come to Him yourself. Would you come this morning while we sing? Whatever you need. Daddies, y'all together around this altar. Say, dear God, keep me in the house of God. Keep me where I need to be while we sing.